encourage you to talk to those folks to hear even more of their stories. This season, I'm reading this book called The Greatest Gift by Anne Voskamp, and it's a daily reading for the month of December. And the first line in the book is, "The mattering part is never what isn't." The mattering part is never what isn't. First line of the book, I read that like three or four times trying to figure it out. I thought, this is going to take me a really long time to get through this book. But she goes on to describe a stump, and that the stump was the tree, or the family tree of Jesse and Jesus. And she writes, "And when David's sons and grandsons and great-grandsons turned from God and loved the gifts and the flesh more than the giver and the father, their kingdoms fell. Their homes fell apart. It looks as if the whole family tree of Jesse had been chopped off at the roots. But our covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God vowed, out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place." Isaiah 11, 1 and 10. This is a prophecy about Jesus, a tender shoot from the stump of Jesse and David. The mattering part isn't the tree that's chopped down and isn't there. The mattering part is the tender shoot that's coming up from the stump. That tender shoot is hope. That tender shoot is Jesus. Now, I'm not the best gardener, but I keep trying. So every spring, I plant seeds in a small part of our yard, and after the amount of time indicated on the seed pack, I go out and I look for those tiny little green things coming up. And if I wasn't looking, I could very easily walk right across and trample on those little plants emerging from the soil. And in the chaos of life, we often miss the mattering part. We too often see the stump, sometimes even trampling on the tender shoot. And in the chaos of Christmas, we sometimes miss the mattering part, the tender babe, the source of hope. Today is the fourth week of Advent, the fourth week of talking about hope. We want to look today to see what we can learn from the shepherds. And I would encourage you, if you'd like, to write these things down. First, look for hope. Look for hope. Now, I think we all picture this bright angel with a loud voice, joined by many more angels, lighting up the night sky. So you might think that the shepherds didn't really have to look for anything. It just appeared. But I think they could have been satisfied with that vision. They could have easily said, "Wow, that was awesome," and gone right back to work or maybe sleep. They could have easily missed the mattering part, going to look for the baby. They were curious. They wanted to see for themselves. They looked for Jesus. Listen for hope. Again, we picture those angel voices filling the air, but I think the shepherds really heard every word and listened to the meaning and the instructions the angels gave. And I picture the shepherds having a conversation with Mary and Joseph, telling them about what they had seen and heard from the angels, and listening to what Mary and Joseph told them, and processing all of those details, really listening. The shepherds looked and listened for hope. Allow hope to bring life. Hope brings life and energy. I picture the shepherds kind of hanging out at night. Maybe some of them took turns dozing off. And I'm guessing that the whole angel appearance that terrified them gave them a little adrenaline. But I also think the excitement of what they had been told, of what they might find, gave them energy to hurry off in the middle of the night. And the realization that everything they had been told and heard from Mary and Joseph's story also brought life and energy, enough to be glorifying and praising God as they returned. Allow hope to bring joy. I picture those shepherds being joyful. Scripture says they were filled with praise. They were excited. Their experience brought them joy. Share hope. The shepherds were so full of hope and joy, they couldn't help but share. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, I doubt they understood everything. I doubt they knew much about what would happen next, but they did know what they experienced and were willing to and couldn't help but share it. In Matthew 18, Jesus, in response to the question, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" answered, "Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." There are a lot of commentaries and thoughts on what Jesus meant. We often think of him meaning that childlike faith or dependency. I think we also need to have hope like a child. Children are naturally curious, naturally full of energy and life, and naturally want to share their joy and excitement. They're excited to learn, excited to look, to listen. Have you ever been around a child who just discovered how to listen for and look for an airplane? I did a home visit once at a daycare next to Landis Homes, and it's close to the Lititz Airport. And some of these preschoolers couldn't even talk, but they were pointing to the sky and trying to say something. And I said something to their teacher, and he said, "Oh, yes, they get so excited. They listen and look for all the airplanes, and they spot them and hear them before anybody else. And they're so excited to share that. They're excited to listen and to learn and to look. Children take time just to look, to listen, to learn, and to be in awe. And they find joy and excitement in the small things in life. Preschoolers celebrate letters and colors. How great is that? And they love to share that excitement. My family likes to watch the movie Elf every year at Christmas time. It's a fun Christmas movie about a baby that's raised by elves, finds out he's human, and goes to New York City to find his dad. And Buddy the Elf finds joy and excitement in little things like revolving glass doors, escalators, throwing snowballs, decorating for Christmas. He's kind and caring, offering hugs and words of encouragement, not always received well or reciprocated. He's very childlike, but an adult. And in the movie, he falls in love, and at one point in the movie, he barges into a meeting, and a loud voice says, I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it." Shouldn't we be that excited about the joy in our lives? Shouldn't we be that excited about being in love with Jesus? Now, I'm not saying we should go barging into meetings expressing our joy like that, but don't we have reason for hope? And shouldn't that hope bring us joy and life and energy enough that we can share? So how can we renew our hope, renew curiosity, renew our energy, renew our joy, hope and joy in the little things in life? When was the last time you learned something new? Anything? What are you curious about? Do you celebrate little things? Because God's at work in the little things. When something happens that could be a coincidence, but you know it's a God thing, do you share that with excitement to your family, your friends, coworkers? God is at work in the little things and the big things. I think sometimes we feel like we have to have this grand testimony or huge life event to share, but sharing experiences and the little things in life build relationships and share hope. Hebrews 11 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." And that chapter goes on to list those who lived by faith in the Old Testament. Their faith was not by sight. And we have the joy of living on this side of the coming of Jesus. Romans 15 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope." And I loved how Sharon and Kevin shared scriptures that gave them hope that they clung onto when circumstances seemed hopeless. Scriptures such as Isaiah 41:10 give us hope. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. John 14:27, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. And John 14:3, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What hope. Romans 5, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. We can have hope. In a world that sometimes seems hopeless, we can have hope. When our society seems hopeless, we need to look, listen, and share hope. I hear a lot about the struggles in our education system and wondering where things are headed. Sometimes that seems hopeless. But when I think about even the stories that our son Jordan, who's student teaching, shares about trying to bring joy to those kids' life, or I think about some of the teachers or people in education in our congregation who have hope in their lives sharing that, I believe there is hope. I hear about the horrible epidemic of heroin and what it's doing to families and to the children in those families, and it seems hopeless. But I think about those, even in this congregation, that serve in social work or know those families, and I know that there's hope. When you look at the world, don't focus on the stumps. Look for those tender shoots, the ways God is working in this messed up world. Focus on the mattering part. Focus on hope. I'm sure many of you have heard this story before, but I think it bears repeating at this time. Once upon a time, there was an old man who used to go to the ocean to do his writing. He had a habit of walking on the beach every morning before he began his work. Early one morning, he was walking along the shore after a big storm had passed and found the vast beach littered with starfish as far as the eye could see, stretching in both directions. Off in the distance, the old man noticed a small boy approaching. As the boy walked, he paused every so often, and as he grew closer, the man could see that he was occasionally bending down to pick up an object and throw it into the sea. The boy came closer still, and the man called out, "Good morning. May I ask what it is that you are doing?" The young boy paused, looked up, and replied, "Throwing starfish into the ocean. The tide has washed them up onto the beach, and they can't return to the sea by themselves," the youth replied. "When the sun gets high, they will die unless I throw them back in the water." The old man replied, "But there must be tens of thousands of starfish on this beach. I'm afraid you won't really be able to make much of a difference." The boy bent down, picked up yet another starfish, and threw it as far as he could into the ocean. Then he turned, smiled, and said, "It made a difference to that one." To close, I want to share with you about Ben. Ben is one of the first children that I worked with when I started working as a physical therapist. Ben had had a tumor on his cerebellum, which affected his balance. So we were doing things like kicking, running, and working on balance. And Ben went in for surgery one time. It was to be a routine surgery, and something went wrong, and part of his spinal cord and brainstem was severed. And Ben came out of that surgery unable to move his legs, unable to speak real clearly, needing a trach and a feeding tube. And I continued to see Ben at his home. And Ben knew Jesus. And every day he would ask his mother what was happening that day. He looked at each day with hope. He would look forward to getting out, whether it was for a doctor's appointment. He looked forward to whoever was coming to visit. And I remember that Ben, if you gave him a gift, he wouldn't open it right away. He would sit it somewhere that he could look at and just look forward to opening that. Ben got the fact that the mattering part is never what isn't. He didn't focus on what he could no longer do. He focused on that little shoot of hope for the day. And he shared that with everyone around. And I'm glad he did. Perhaps we should be more like the shepherds, more like a child. Perhaps we should be looking for hope, looking to learn, being curious, learning something new. Perhaps we should be listening more for hope, listening to God's word, listening to his still quiet voice. Perhaps we should do more to allow hope to bring us life and energy that will bring hope to the world, and allow hope to bring us joy, no matter what the circumstances, so that we can share hope.